that's good. The parshios, by the way, should be written, you know, Balashon HaKodesh.
But it don't mean that filling could be written in a different language.
What?
No, it means that filling could be in a different
language. Well, we'll talk. Okay, so again, all these topics are very big and they're really very important. So let's just get because we don't have so much time, so we'll do them as we have been, kind of a little bit more quickly. I want to fill in some of the middle things also very quickly, and then move on to Taina Kfira and a little bit of Teshuva D'Oraisa, D'Rabbanan, and Ishtabat L'Praticha. I told you I want to do those next week. People will be around next week?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, good. If we can add one, we'll try. You're not going to be here next week. But if should we try to add one if we can? Or people, Tuesday, Thursday for sure should be fine next week. Although I may have to change the timing on the Thursday. I'm not sure. I may have something earlier. So I'm guessing I might have to change that. You know, if we can get in one more, we'll try. Are people around for that also? Or
Monday?
I'm not sure if it would be Monday or Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can. I'll. For some reason, I don't know why it's so busy now, but... It still is for some reason. Okay. first of all, just a comment that Asher made. Again, we still have much more to do on the Shutfin issue and Shavuot HaPikadon, but just, you know, illustrative of what we were discussing, which is that one would have thought, and again, this is the default way to think about it, because then when it turns out not to be that way, the need to explain, you know, is something that, you know, further pushes us to understand on a deeper level, you know, what the relationships truly are. Kind of sounds a very abstract. Okay. I probably understands what I'm saying. I'm assuming that. Like it's a compliment. So we can go on? No? No. Meaning, the point I was trying to make about Shutfus was, let's say if you have, roughly speaking, three different models, as we've been discussing, namely, you know, the model in which Shutfus is just a pragmatic and efficient, you know, a mechanism and does nothing substantively, or does very little substantively, which is the half-half model. And maybe what it all does is in terms of as a backup, you know, added responsibility and so on and so forth, but at least initially, as opposed to saying that the collective is a unit without which there are no individual rights whatsoever, or the collective is a unit in which each individual right constitutes a proper representative of the whole collective. So regarding those three perspectives, I was saying that, you know, if you then follow through in different areas of halakha, both in kosher, even just in kosher mishpat, and certainly when you start moving outside of kosher mishpat into other areas, the questions are the same, you know, but you might come to the realization that things are more complex, that they are more complicated. And once they are, so you either have to explain why, you know, what the rules and what the exceptions are and what, you know, what the categories are. There are certain areas in halakha which lend themselves more, you know, to the individual's rights and others to a collectivity. But then, the question of again a collectivity which, you know, in which all parts are ma'akev because no one has anything without the whole, or a collectivity in which, you know, each person really benefits from or derives greater power from the whole. And of course, the good reason to be mechalek. In those areas, as we discuss, even like between Arev and Lovin and so on, between a Toveh and a Nitva. Or you have to say, and probably you have to say this anyway, that these ideas are not mutually exclusive, and that, you know, in every Shutfus there are all three of these things, or in many Shutfuses all three of these things exist, and the question really is, you know, what's primary, what's secondary, what triggers what, and so on. You know, as such, even the general relationships between them are more likely to be complicated. And therefore, That brings to the third point, the idea of being mechalik between the Taveya side, the Nitva side, or different areas of halakha itself, you know, when you're makabel things, when, you know, that what triggers a shutfus, is it the eskaibus, is it the Kabbalah, and if the Kabbalah itself is more individuated, so then all those chilukim will be more understandable. So the comment that Asher made, that I was referring to very obliquely before, was that if you look at the Ramban, it seems like on the one hand, the Ramban is telling us that on the Toveya side, right, no Toveya alone has the right of Tviya, right, unless the total representation of the Shutfus is there. But it seems that in the language, he himself is Tola that with the opposite when it comes to the, let's say on the Malva side, right, to collect. But he himself seems to say the opposite when it comes to the Lova, that each Lova, right, is, again, he has two deos, but each Lova is fully responsible on their own. So it's not just that he says that, but it sounds like he thinks that those two are actually connected. In other words, the limitation on the Toveya and the expanded Chiyuv on the Nitva, you know, instead of just, you know, maybe both being true for different reasons, his har was, it sounds like they're even Haba Hatalia. So that is very fascinating, I agree. I think, again, the common denominator may be the idea of being more, the idea that Shutfus, in addition to, in other words, let me say it this way, according to the other models that I was suggesting, so you might just explain that, you know, there's a difference between the Toveya and the Nitva, between the, you know, the Mechayev and the Mechuyev. And I think that is certainly true. But the way that the Tlius sounds in the Ramban, it might also be something else. And that is that the Shutfus imposes a greater limitation, right? In other words, it expands, you know, it expands, let's say, the tzad chiyuv, you know, rather than the tzad zkus in a particular case. And that also explains why you need both tovim, but that either of the nitvayim is fully chayiv. So I'm just pointing out that if you sometimes are forced to reassess, you know, what the common feature is in addition to the basis for different chilukim. And having said that, it's just a massive, massive issue on top. Okay, so that's just an example. And then, you know, what does Balabimo depend on? What does Kefil depend on? What does, you know, right of collection? We'll discuss this a lot next year also, Rav Nassan and the Chachamim, we've made allusion to in the pack. Noiboy lishtalum mihai, mishtalmi mihai. When you have two mechaibim, you know, in a nezek, for example. Right? So again, the problems, the formulation of the options are understandably very similar. So again, you have two mechaibim and a nezek. So, you know, you could say each one did half the nezek. Assuming it isn't so, and in some cases it might actually be that way, you know, depending on what the circumstances are. Was it, you know, each one only able to accomplish half? Or were neither one able to accomplish it, you know, on its own? Those are going to be factors, you know, considered. But let's say you have a situation where, like, each one could have been mazik, you know, completely, but there were two mazikim. So are you still going to say that each one contributes half because it's, the shared burden? You know, or are you going to say that each one did the whole? Right? Are you going to say that, you know, both together, Mibein Shneim, they did, you know, the whole? And what we say about a Shutfus situation where a Mibein Shneim, they did the whole, but each one, you know, couldn't have accomplished, you know, more than half. Is it still possible to say that as part of the partnership of this Mazik, you know, that each one is, on some level, Chayiv Bakol? So that, again, you could say that, you know, Ein Adoma is Chayivus Midas, you know, to mazik. You can say that in either direction if you want, but or the victim of a hezek. So that's something we'll talk about next year. Does it matter if there are two, you know, owners of the shore, or two boars, or two shores, as opposed to a shore and a boar, right? Like two different, you know, nizke mamons. And does it matter which two? You know, maybe some nizke mamon are more or less conducive right, to that kind of, you know, or to the different models of the partnership. So these are just questions. I'm not answering any of them. That's a little bit, but that's part of the topic of Ramdasan and the Chachamim. And it's just another good example where, you know, the questions are parallel, and we can all understand why Nezek might be different, why, you know, Yochol, you know, Ba'atzmo, or Ein Yochol Ba'atzmo might be factors, you know, why, you know, two of the same might be different than two different in either direction. It's just instinctively we know that those distinctions are very reasonable. But actually following them through la'alacha and seeing, you know, what the reconstruction is in terms of the lamdas, you know, and what its implications are for other things, you know, that requires a lot of nitty-gritty work and a lot of, you know, care and wisdom as well. So that, just another example of many, many of these cases. Okay. Did you want a question? Yeah.
We had a similar discussion about,
Yeah, I think I did mention, I don't know if you weren't here the other day, right?
Oh.
Right. So, no, 100%. I think I mentioned that, we'll talk about that in the beginning of Bava Kamma too, because it comes up in the, I think, Barikatz, as if I recall correctly, in Shinukovetz's Bava Kamma Daf Beis, you know, that, like, you know, a similar problem. Let's say you have an Av and a Tolda, Machokas, Tanaim, whether you're Chayav Mishum Shneim, but Lasum Arpsak, which is that you're only Chayav Achas when you do an Av and a Tolda Behelem Echad. So there's still a major, major, which we'll discuss, debate, you know, how that works. One is that, you know, they're, you're not chayav for the Av, you're not chayav for the Tolda, you're chayav for the common denominator, you know, that that they both share. And that's why you're not chayav twice, because from a common denominator point of view, it's like doing the Av, and the Tolda, because in both, every time you do the Av or the Tolda, you're really doing the common denominator, right? But the other perspective, it seems like Rashi and Bava Kamma versus Rashi a little bit in Shabbos, and then again, Mari Katz in Shidun Gebetzes, Bava Kamma just points it out about those moments. The other possibility is that it's like an Ikar, you know, Poter is a Tafel. You're Chayav for the Av, you know, and you're Potter for the Tolda. You would be Chayav for the Tolda, all things being equal, if you only did the Tolda. But when you do the Av and the Tolda, so, you know, the Ikar is Poter, the Tafel. That's a very different, you know, perspective and model. It has to do a lot also with, you know, the way you understand Avos and Toldas and Hilchos Shabbos. And do you understand that the same way that you understand, for example, Avos and Toldas and Ezekiel, right? Again, the whole beginning of Bava Kamma, again, I don't want to, you know, we'll talk about it for those who will be here. But, you know, what's the relationship between three models of Avos and Toldos, right? That's how the sugya really starts. Toldosem kiyotzebehem, toldosem lab kiyotzebehem. You know, what is that in Hilchos Nezikin, and what is that in Hilchos Shabbos, and what is that in, you know, the other opposite case, Tumah v'Tahara, you know? That is something to think about. Okay, good. Back to the question of Lashon HaKodesh and Kol Lashon. Okay, so what we were discussing is the the way it comes in here is that our Gemara says that Shavuos HaDayanim is Bilashona Nemra, right? We agreed that was a strange nusach, right? And we also noted that whereas most Rishonim interpret that to mean that it works also B'Kol Lashon, that the Rimigash insists that we, you know, require Lashon HaKodesh. And that default, we thought, again, if somebody will, if somebody disagrees, they can take issue with this, but the way I understood the consensus view, I think conforms to expectations, unless, you know, we have such an iconoclast, you know, in the crowd. I don't think Ellie was at that cheer. Were you in last year?
Sure, that's right, yeah.
Well, you weren't there. You weren't here. And Joey wasn't. Joey was on the phone, so we don't really know whether he was frowning or he was smiling, whether he was standing, whether he was sitting, whether he was wearing his tefillin at the time or not. So, you know, this is like your second chance. This is your chance to, you know, not to let me get away with it. But mostly the consensus view seemed to be that the Rimi Gash's position was difficult. Meaning, why would you think that Shua Saniganim would require Lashon HaKodesh? We'll see the language of the Rambam in a minute, but the Rambam certainly paskins like Rashi and Tosis and the majority of Rishonim that Shua Saniganim does not require Lashon HaKodesh. But I gave this as another example where, you know, the Rimi Gash's, you know, imprint on the Rambam, you know, is noted. And that is that the Rambam quotes it prominently, you know, and maybe even semi-approvingly. Like, you know, we don't paskin this way, but, you know, we understand it. Right. So, again, it's not like he quotes every Rimi Gash or every, you know, different shita. The Rambam will quote, you know, different shitas for three reasons. As a curiosity, maybe, or when he's interested in the range, although he's not always, per se, interested in the range. When a shita is particularly popular or default, or in a certain community at least, and he feels that he has to debunk it and argue with it. But I think that he'll also quote shitas that we don't paskin like, even in the absence of these two factors, when he thinks that, you know, yesh dvarim bego, right? We should speak a little more Hebrew, I guess, in this year than in, you know, typically, you know, the Bachman on the Ravid's, you know, view of, you know, called Torah Kula Blashon HaKodesh Nebra, that refers also to Vagisa Vayom Olayla. So, you know, Kishu Choshev, Sheyesh Dvarim Bego, you know, that there's resonance, let's say, to that, you know, other Shita, and, you know, maybe the Rambam quotes it too. Like, we don't paskin that way. And if he quotes it a few times, you know, and especially, you know, the way that he quotes it, you know, it's almost like, you know, it reflects something that I like, or it isn't something that I, you know, don't understand, although I don't go far so far as to paskin that way. That's a bit of the impression that I get in the Rambam in here. We'll look at the Rambams in a couple of minutes. Again, it's a little bit Joey connected, so we'll, you know, we'll get to it. Right. So what does it mean that, you know, Shua Sadeon could be, you know, B'Lashon HaKodesh? So this takes us just back a step, noting, you know, something on a technical level, but especially, you know, looking back at the Mishnah and Sota technically, because in the Mishnah and Sota we have Shua Edus and Shua Pikadon mentioned on the list of Dvarim Shenemarim, you know, B'Kol Lashon, El Nemarim B'Kol Lashon. So again, according to the Rimi Gash, that means that Shua Sadeyanim stands out as being different than Pikadon and Edus. In addition to being a bit sensational, that would be something that required Lashon HaKodesh, you know, it also draws a very strong distinction between Pikadon and Edus and Dayanim. Never mind Bitui, we'll talk about Bitui also. Moreover, which needs to be explained, in addition, the absence of, let's say, Dayanim in the Mishnah in Sota is something that needs to be explained, you know, in both directions. According to other Rishonim, why, you know, why do we mention Pikadon and Edus and not Dayanim? You could say, oh, you know, the Chlal, you know, Pikadon the Edus is Dayanim, even though they are different than other things, and they are different Shuos, as we've discussed. But the Rambam in particular will talk about this. That's one of the things that he emphasizes, is that Dayanim and Pikadon are the same legabe the Salacha. Maybe that's a factor in rejecting the Rimi Gash. Interesting, what other people say about that. It's called Kol Shekein, it's equal. There was more of a Havamina about Edus and Pikadon. Either way, it's just interesting. That's according to the, you know, Rov Rubam Shel Rishonim, that it belongs on that list. According to the Rimi Gash, it's just interesting that it's not on the list of Lashon HaKodesh, right? So of course the contrast, you know, is greater. We know why it's not on that list, but why isn't it on this list, right? So that's where the Mishnah in Sota and that sugya becomes important to us to answer those two questions. But in addition, and more importantly, you know, it's not just Kasha Teretz. It's that is the main sugya about Kol Lashon and Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore we look to that Mishnah and we look to that sugya for our guidelines, you know, in terms of what does and doesn't require, you know, Kol Lashon HaKodesh and what can, can work with Kalasha. Because again, since we don't want to spend so much time on this, we could really, really, you know, spend a lot of time on each example. We're doing these more quickly. So what we talked about the other day was, I mean, the reason that the consensus, you know, that was in the room at least, was strongly, if not fully, you know, assuming that, you know, the Rimigash was a Chiddush and not the other Shittos, is because, as we noted, the requirement of Lashon HaKodesh would seem to be limited to certain very specific kinds of halachas. In light of the Rimigash, we certainly need to reassess and expand on that. Even before the Rimigash, maybe we need to expand and reassess that. So the first issue, this is really what I wanted to do with the sugya, without going into too many details, but using some of the details, A, to show, you know, food for thought, you know, what you could do with this topic, B, as, you know, drive-by examples, etc., is, you know, to think about the requirement of Lashon HaKodesh in certain terms. So number one, of course, the biggest issue is the question of text. Where there is a formal text, and where the, you know, way that we relate, right, is through a text, is the Torah's text. So then the possibility of Lashon HaKodesh becomes much more compelled, right? So things like Megillas Sota and Bikurim, you know, where there's a kriya of a parsha. We would have thought maybe Kriya Shema. We might have thought all Kriya Satorah, right? Anything having to do with reading Torah Shebichtav. Even if that isn't the case, right? Again, when the particular parsha within Torah Shebichtav has added stature for a particular halakha, like Mikra Bikurim and Vidui Maisros and Sota, maybe particular Krios in Kriyas HaTorah like Zachar, you know, or maybe Para, you know, might have that status. Kriyashma, we could have thought, you know, since it is the Parsha, you know, some people are makbid even to, you know, to read it with the trup, you know, even in the Parsha, that's a way of signifying, you know, the concept of a text, you know, in particular details or relating to it as a text, you know, even according to the trup, which of course is a great mechanism for parshanut and how to divide up the words, but one which accentuates, you know, the text itself, the words themselves, and the order of the words and the breaking up of the words, you know, etc. So anything which invokes, you know, the concept of a chefta shel parsha of text and so on is a very excellent candidate for Lashon HaKodesh. We would have thought that it would be limited to those things, but that it would apply to all those things. You know, surprise, surprise, you know, this is why, you know, Torah is so exciting, that our anticipations are good, they're important, they're a musar, you know, muskal rishon, you know, to begin with, and then when we find that they're often, you know, too limited, right, it forces us to reassess. But the idea isn't wrong, you know, it just means that it's too limited, that certain things that look like they are texts, you know, either can still be texts, al yedei tirgum, right, but then you might really require, as we were discussing the other day, a tirgum meduyak, right? So in the list now of things that are b'kalashon, I would say that there still might be texts. Anything that's not a text, and as we'll see in a moment, doesn't have certain other trappings either, would be on that list. Things that just convey content, substance, all things being equal, should be, you know, one would think, b'kalashon. As long as you can accurately and appropriately, those are two big ifs, accurately and appropriately convey them, you know, b'chalasha. If you lose something in the translation, either in terms of the substance or you know, something else that you want to also convey, I'll get to the something else in just a second, then, you know, it's not going to work. But, you know, so you might have texts, betirgum, and you might have, that's really what I'm trying to say, and you might have non-texts where, you know, Lashon HaKodesh plays a particular role. And what role would that play? What do I mean by the propriety? Number one, it's, of course, the tochen and the translation. If there's something, you know, where the efficiency or, you know, the divinity, let's say, of the text, if we're talking about Torah Shebichsav, let's say, you know, is something which you can't replace or substitute, you can't really translate, you know, there just is nothing like the original, then you're still going to require Lashon HaKodesh. But even beyond that, and that's, you know, the challenge of any tirgum, even if it isn't the text, right? As long as the nuance of what you're trying to convey, you know, is so critical. In addition to that, you know, there might be also an issue of the original language. Maybe certain dinim require that we be invoking, you know, the origins or the original, as I said. Particularly, for example, reenactments. Right? Wherever we're trying to reenact something as it was, then, you know, the Lashon HaKodesh, the original language, you know, the ancient tongue, you know, in this case, the divine tongue. But it isn't because, you know, per se it's the divine tongue. The divine tongue is, you know, the text. And the divine tongue is maybe certain things, you know, you just can't properly translate. You know, only the Rabbanu Sholem could. Or if you translate them, you lose something in the translation. You don't get the fullness of what you get in, you know, Shivim Panim LaTorah, you know, or Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, about a particular parsha where you need that, you know, acutely, you're going to be lacking those things. That's what I mean about the substance in a more obvious way, right? And the substance in a more, again, you know, Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call it mystical way or divine way, etc. But I'm saying even moving beyond those, that 2A and 2B, what I'm saying is, wherever you need a reenactment of the original, that's what a reenactment is, right? It's superfluous to say of the original, or maybe not. Whenever you're reenacting, you need the original, or there's an advantage to the original, right? And therefore, it's the fact that it was the original, you know, that makes it so. Like, we don't know about the Aseret HaDibros, but, you know, so people think that all Kriyas HaTorah is a kind of, has an element of reenactment in it. You know, it's Talmud Torah Barabim, and a kiyum of Talmud Torah Barabim, but is there all, you know, the requirement of the Seer Sur and other things, is it also reenactment? Certainly Aseret HaDibros, we've spoken about this, you know, might have a dimension of reenactment, especially Betam Elyon. That was, as I mentioned in the past, the Rav's Ha'ara, but it has really, you know, it's practically said earlier by a number of poskim, right, regarding the question of, you know, again, the Rav's trying to explain, you know, the Rambam's view in his tshuva, that you shouldn't stand up for, you know, Aseret HaDibros if you don't stand up for the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. Because that's like Taromas Aminim, same reason that the Gemara in Brachos said we no longer say Aseret HaDibros every day, so we also don't. The Rambam says, you know, because of Taromas Aminim, which can mean either, to use in the Rishonim, you know, you might think it's more, has more Kedusha than other parts of the Torah, you might think only this is Mipia HaGvura, so either of those is not acceptable, and therefore they cut it out. So the Rambam says the same thing, if you stand for one and you don't stand for everything else, that's the implication as well, but we do stand. So the Rambam wanted to explain that since we say Betam Elyon, as opposed to Tam Tachton, Tam Tachton is Kriyas HaTorah and Talmud Torah Barab, right? And therefore it's broken up in Psukim. And Tam Elyon is a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. I'm just saying now, the reenactment is something which might require Lashon HaKodesh. Not Mukrach. I guess if you can translate it perfectly, you know, you might all do that, all thou shalt, and, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, I guess the Cecil B. DeMille, you know, versions of it. But basically, you know, it would make a lot of sense to say that it's limited to Lashon HaKodesh. Even aside from the other points, namely, Aseres HaDibros is a text, right? The Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Hey, you know, Ve'etnu L'cha Saluchos Eben, that's a Torah, that's a mitzvah. We talked about this. I think it was part of our Hakdama, because we were talking about Aseres HaDibros, as part of our Hakdama to the Muslim movement stuff, right? Chazon Ish, right? We didn't get so far, but we did a few. So I think we mentioned it then. That, you know, it's a fascinating thing that the Gemara in Brachos, you know, breaks down genres of Torah, basically. Gemara does this in numerous times. We also talked about Birchos HaTorah. I think we talked about it then too, right? Different Cheftz Shel Torah. So one of them is, you know, the Luchos. Luchos Eben, Eir La'Soros HaDibros. So again, Mishnah, Mikra, Nevi'im Uksuvim, we understand what those different genres. Aseres HaDibros is a different genre? I mean, it's also part of Mikra, right? It's the only one that overlaps. So that overlap is fascinating. What does it mean? What's its significance? So one way to look at it is what a tochen does. Namely, it's kolel, kol tarjag mitzvos, bevasachas, according to the Sadjagon and the Ramban and others. But another way is, and maybe they're overlapping ideas, is that, you know, this is part of the reenactment idea. So again, maybe to get that kiyum you require Lashon HaKodesh. It's not in the Mishnah one way or another, but maybe you need that. Aside from the token and everything else, right? Maybe it's only kolel tarjag mitzvos according to Sadjagon and the Ramban, you know, bilashona. But I'm saying separate from that, whenever you need to reenact, you have an added, you know, reason or added justification for demanding or at least preferring Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. Another reason why you might require Lashon HaKodesh, just one more second, is where you have, and I'm getting, you know, this is Minakal, or Minakave de Lakal, maybe the point, or Minakal Lakave, depending on your point of view. But in other words, text, the original, things that are untranslatable, the original. And then comes things like where you want to, you know, make a certain kind of a statement. So wherever you're trying to formalize and or nationalize something that you're doing, right? You want people to know that this is like a formal kriya of some sort, or a formal statement, or a formal, you know. You want to give it some formality. So, you know, using the official, you know, language of you know, Yahadus, you know, Asarim Amaros Bara Olam, of the creation, or of, you know, of Torah, or of Klal Yisrael, right? It's, there are makoros that indicate that Lashon HaKodesh is like the national language of the Jewish people, or the national, or natural, or formal language of Torah. Right, Ba'er Etev, the Shivim Lashon, but, you know, that is the Targum. So maybe you just want to make the point that this is a formal or a national, an official, and therefore you need, you know, again, people, Jews live, you know, wherever they live, you know, and they speak many languages, you know, and again, Umos Olam of 70 languages, we think, you know, right, that's a Sanhedrin has to know the 70, and Ba'er Etev is Shivim Lashon, and Yerushalayim, you know, is known by 70 different appellations, you know, because there are 70 different cultures. Language and culture are highly intertwined, because man is ruach memalala, right? He's a talking being, and therefore his articulation is, you know, is discernment and is a part of his identity. And for Klal Yisrael, that all begins, you know, by Ba'er Etev Shivim Lashon, with the national language of the Jewish people, the Ribono Sholem's language, the language of creation, the language of the Torah, and that is Hebrew. So wherever Jews live, and whatever other language, Shaloshinu es Shemam, you know, Loshinu es Lashonam, and Malbusham, Lashonam is right up there. So, you know, people do speak, you know, other languages. Last night they had a, like some people are here, right, you know, they had zichronots in memory of Rav David Lifshitz, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, who really was just a very special and very wonderful person. So somebody was telling me, Rav David Lifshitz was very close to all of his Talmidim, and he, you know, he was like a Rebbe for life. That was really one of the things that came across, but it's totally true. But, you know, what people weren't emphasizing so much, but was part of the same kind of the coin, is if you were in Rav David Lifshitz's shir, he didn't really, you know, want to lose you. So it was very hard, you know, if you were in his shir, ever to go to another shir, because he was like a very much a father figure, and he, you know, he wanted to keep that. So somebody was telling me a story last night that, you know, they were in the shir for a number of years, and then, you know, he also used to go to Eretz Yisrael every summer, and he loved being in Eretz Yisrael. So one summer he came back a little late, and the other person was already had switched into the Rav Shir. And when he came back, you know, he had to kind of, you know, he had to face Rav David and explain to him. So he said, Rav David Lifshitz turned to him and he said, what language does the Rav give Shiurim in these days? And this was after he already had switched to English. Earlier the Rav gave in, all the Rebbeim here gave in Yiddish until at some point. So he said he gives it in English. So Rav David looked at him with, and he said, you're gonna learn you know, Gemara in Goyish language, you know, as opposed to Yiddish, I guess. Or he was giving in Ivrit at the time. So this is, you know, there's something, like, it's a good line. But as much as Bayari Teif Shivim Lashon, and there's a time to know, you know, when, you know, you need to use, you know, the vernacular, and when, you know, if people can't understand you, you should speak the vernacular. But, you know, wherever Jews are, you know, the real language, or the, you know, the Shorish language is Ivrit. It's Lashon HaKodesh. So, you know, as such, whenever you want to use the universal language of the Jewish people, or the formal language of the Jewish people, or of the Torah, or of the Ribono Shel Olam, you need Lashon HaKodesh. So that's another factor, in addition to the more, let's say, you know, the more fundamental ones, like text, and like reenactment, and like not translatable or not fully translatable. Anything that is formal, national, Am Yisrael oriented, you know, is going to have a special Ivrit, Lashon HaKodesh, component. So this would explain, obviously this expands very significantly, you know, the cases. So looking back on the list in Sota, then we'll talk about a couple of the individual cases. You know, again, we're surprised by some of the things that are in each list, and that's how we learn and how we draw conclusions. So the Mishnah here on Lamed Beis, Elin Amar B'Chaloshon, Parsha Sota, right? That we understand why we have to be Mamayit Parsha Sota, because it's a Parsha, right? And it's a Megillah, and the Mechikas Hashem in Sota is part of the, you know, the maybe Shalom Benish Leishto, like that's part of the whole story, right? Vidvi Meiser, right, is a Parsha, right? Specific words that you say, it's like a declaration, and as such, the Habamina that you should require, Lashon HaKodesh, is very, very reasonable. Kriyashma, as we said before, is a parsha. And it's also a parsha of Limud HaTorah, it's a Yichud Hashem, it's Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, it packs a lot, you know, into those words. And even part of, you know, what it is that it's packing in, a certain maximalism of Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, Yichud Hashem itself, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, part of the Nusach there is critical, right? I say, Shem, you know, Midas Hadin, Midas HaRachamim. So the idea that Kriyashma as a Parsha, as a text, you know, all this is, never mind, you know, that, you know, invokes some of the other themes, it's very reasonable that one would expect. The Chidushim in these cases, Sota, Bidimaiser, and Kriyashma, is not that, you know, that's, it's not that it's, the Havamina was B'Lashon HaKodesh, it's that the Maskana is that you don't need L'Lashon HaKodesh, and we should derive from there too, obviously. And again, if you need only L'Lashon Shatamevin, you know, it's easier, because then what you might say is two things. Number one, when you need, we haven't talked about that yet, L'Lashon Shatamevin, obviously the relationship or the interaction between what you're doing and you know, and how it affects you, is critical. It's not just a mechanical action or performance. Even with a broader understanding, it's not something cannot be misasek and still, you know, enata yodea, you know, or enata mevin. You can, you know, mitzas ein trichos kavana, and still, if you don't know that it's Rosh Hashanah or that it's Pesach, it could be that you're low. Yotze Yidei Chavascha. That, of course, is the famous Shita of Eli? The Ra'ah. No? Yeah. That's quoted by the other Rishonim, by the Ran and Rosh Hashanah and other places. The Ra'ah says, just because Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, right, and you don't have to have Kavana for Achilas Matzah, Kapo Parsiyim, or, you know, Tokeh L'Shir will be Yatzah, but if you think it's, you know, the day before Rosh Hashanah, or the day after Pesach, you know, again, not all Rishonim agree with the Ra, but the point is, I'm trying to make a point, which is that, you know, there's something called Misasek, and there's plenty of room between not being Misasek, and as knowing generally, you know, what you're doing even. And I have a general idea that I'm saying Kriya Shema, and that it has something to do with Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, and Yichud Hashem even. You know, I know like generally what it is. Does that mean that I have to know what the words actually mean? Right. So when you acquire Havana, right, so there are two things to think about in Havana. Right. Number one is obviously, you know, that becomes part of the Kiyum and part of the Hagdara of the Mitzvah where you acquire Havana. Where Havana plays a role, and that is also a factor in Kalashon. So there are two possibilities, and you might distinguish the cases. One is that where you have to choose between Lashon HaKodesh and Havana, it could be that Havana, you know, takes priority. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a L'chatchila, or maybe even a Ma'akev of Lashon HaKodesh, when there's belief. Doesn't mean there isn't a kiyum in Lashon HaKodesh, even when there is Havana, b'kol Lashon. And it certainly doesn't mean, you know, that there isn't a din of Lashon HaKodesh even as an ikuv, right, when you're lacking Havana. In other words, when we say that Havana is required, is that because this particular din requires Havana? And that has nothing to do with the Lashon HaKodesh part? And the Mishnah is basically, in if you understand this to be the reference, and we're just being told there's a Gilui Milsa, another halacha, you know, a certain dinim that it's fine to do the B'Kalasha, but you also should know, just because you're lax in one area, or just because you're giving up on the standard of the Lashon HaKodesh, doesn't mean that, you know, that anything goes, you still need Havana. But one has nothing to do with the other. Or no. The reason that this, you know, is formulated this way, according to some Rishonim, is because it has everything to do with the issue itself. Namely, the reason for not demanding Lashon HaKodesh is Havana, which therefore means that what? That there's no din of Lashon HaKodesh, but there is a din of Havana, or and it's that kind of a thing, and that's why we don't care about a text, we care about the deep impact that it makes on you or your understanding of it, or is it the other way? That really, we're not going to sacrifice Havana, you know, for Lashon HaKodesh, but absent Havana and Lashon HaKodesh, right, maybe it's even Ma'akev. But this is an issue of Kriya Samagila, for example. You know, Kriya Samagila, you know, was B'Kol Lashon, right? But the Ramban and others are the opinion that's, you know, if you, you know, maybe you require Havana, right? But maybe you don't require Havana, for example, in Lashon HaKodesh. And then the question is, what about Greek, which has a special status in that? Does that have the din like Lashon HaKodesh that you don't need Habana? Again, that's different than Misaseg. I'm talking about Habana here as being something more, you know, rigorous. Right? You not only know generally what you're doing, you know, but you really understand basically, you know, the details of what you're doing. So this is an interesting question. Vidui Maitzus Kriyat Shema Parsha Sota, right? Is it only the Matir is the Havana, or the Havana is, you know, a separate din, or maybe even an indicator that there's no concept of text? Okay. Will it rear, will the Lashon HaKodesh Met, will you say, oh, Lashon HaKodesh B'li Havana, or Havana? Right? Or something of that sort. Oh. But when we come to Birchas HaMazon, Shavuos HaEdos, Shavuos HaPikadon, what was the Hava mean? Right? That's the issue that we're talking about. And similarly, Elo Nomar B'Lashon HaKodesh, so Mikra Bikurim, that's great. There's even a special din of, you know, of Mikra Bikurim separate from Havas Bikurim. So the idea of the, you know, the recitation of this text, and it's a fascinating text at that. We talked about it pre-Pesach, right, and the role that it plays in the Haggadah, right, a Rami Ovid Avi, practically can't even understand what the words mean, you know. When you practically can't understand what the words mean, that shows, you know, in the biblical text, not in the human text. In the human text, it just might be sloppy. But in the biblical text, it shows that, you know, there are multiple meanings and it's very deep. And it shows that you're talking about a text, not just, you know, conveying information. If you want to convey information, and especially simple information, you know, you don't need language which, you know, is unfathomable. What does it mean, Arami Ovid Avi? Right? So, Mikra Bikurim, Chalitza, it's also Nusach, right? Brachos Uklalos, Hargrizim Bahareval, okay. Was that a reenactment or is that a text? Something to think about. Birchas Kohanim, right? Again, the text, because of the text, you can certainly say it's the text. This is the actual Nusach of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohen Gadol, on the other hand, what is Birchas Kohen Gadol? What is Birchas Kohen Gadol? Yeah?
During the Avodah.
Yeah, the Kohen Gadol used to do Kriyas HaTorah, separate Kriyas HaTorah, you know, the Achrimos and Emor and, you know, and Bamidbar. And then he had his own, according to the Sugyas in Yoma, he had his own Brachos, Birchas Kohen Gadol. So does that fit with the others? No, because that's not a text. Those are brachos. Now there is a question whether, you know, this what's the nature of that particular Kriyas HaTorah, and what's the nature of these Birchas HaTorah? Right? Might be a debate between Bavli and Yerushalmi. Were they like regular Birchas HaTorah plus, or they were totally different? They just had to do with being part of the Seder HaAvodah. Either way, the Birchas HaAvodah. The Birchas, rather, Kohen Gadol here, are definitely not textual. They may be, maybe, not likely, due to the Tochen. Not likely, if you look at the text. They're probably translatable. But what probably made them B'Lashon HaKodesh was the fact that they were part of the Seder HaAvodah. There's a lot of evidence that it isn't just a Kriya that takes place, even though you don't need, you know, Big Day Kuhuna necessarily. He wore his Big Day Kuhuna, but he could have worn a chalak, and, you know, and so on. But that, there's still plenty of evidence that this was not a hefsek in the Avodah. You know, and they say, oh, you can't, you know, hear the Kohen Gadol's Kriya and also watch the burning of the, you know, of the karbonos that get burnt at the same time. So that sounds like it's a, you know, these are two different, you have to choose between these two different, you know, kiyumim, but they're like parallels. In other words, they're not avodos in the same sense that the Sira Mishtaleach or the, you know, or the Zrikos are avodos, but they're part of the Seder HaAvodah. There's a lot of evidence for this, maybe a Priyam Kippur Shir, you know, on the topic one day. You know, we'll see. There's a lot of evidence that's part of the Seder HaAvodah, and as such, you know, that formalized it, it was done, you know, what, all, you know, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, you know, he's reading, you know, the texts of the Parshios, you know, of and it's a rule breaking, not just an enhanced Kriya Satora, rule breaking in a good, I don't mean in a good way, I don't mean in a, I mean a singular Kriya that's part of the Avoda, and all of a sudden he's going to start saying, you know, blessed art thou, you know, O Lord. I mean, not just because it's not seemly. I mean, it's, you know, it's a, the fact that he's making these extra brachos is because, you know, he is representing Klal Yisrael, or as the person, you know, who is the focal point of the Avodah. I was to say that, you know, it's the day of the Kohen Gadol. So as the day of the Kohen Gadol, his Kriya and witnessing his Kriya, it isn't exactly a Kriya Satzibur. It is and it isn't. The dialectic is that it's a Kriya Satzibur because it's the Kriya of the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is on this day, Betoras Kohen Gadol, you know, the way that you, that the Klal Yisrael, it's the most vicarious, but not really, you know, day of the year, because it's through the Kohen Gadol. Even the regular Avodos go through the Kohen Gadol. You know, his Korbanos, you know, are both Korbanos Tzibur and Korbanos Yachid. In the same way, his Kriya is both a Korba, a Kriyas Yachid and a Kriyas Tzibur. But the point is that, you know, that the national language and the formal language of Klal Yisrael and of Torah should be used for these brachos. Right? Mashuach Muhammad is a Parsha, the Shasha Medaber Laham, right? And then, okay, what really needs to be done in all these cases is you have to go through, you know, the Rishonim, see what they say about it, and especially then the Limudim, the Shakavatarias and the Gemara, what the Havaminas were, more different ones, and so on. But the point is that we find a mixed bag. We find things that are text. We find things that are likely because of their untranslatable. But some of the other ones have to do with reenactment, or the formality of the language of Klal Yisrael, or another possibility, a kind of ema, which also is an extension of the view of formality. Like there's a certain, you know, when you use the ancient language of the Hebrews, you know, I don't really mean that, but, you know, as it sometimes, you know, is referred to, like there's something, you know, scary about that, you know, like we're invoking, you know, the original biblical language, right? So there is that motif as well. That's something that the Radvaz, you know, points to when he talks about the Shuas HaDayanim issue. Kesef Mishnah talks about, like, Ulbana Dedaina. We'll look at it in just a second. You know, like, you know, it's you know, as Eli might say, in a different language, you know, like it's pasnished, right? Pashnish, you know, to be in Beis Din, you know, to start saying, you know, I take the holy oath, you know, with the, you know, holding the scroll and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
What?
Right.
It's like, it's almost like hearing a Shir in Goyish. Yeah. Without the matir of Lahavid, right? By the way, that's a good example of it, right? So, right. So, again, you need to know what you're saying, obviously, you know, but, oh. So the point is that there are, both on the list, there are texts on the list of Kalashon, right, either because in the end of the day the Havana overrides, or the text is translatable, etc., etc., and there are non-texts in which the Lashon HaKodesh is Ma'akev because either of reenactment, or of the, you know, the national, formal, original, ema, you know, suffused, you know, language of the Rabboni Shlom and of the Jewish people. Okay, so to speak about a couple of them more specifically, there was a question? Elliot, no questions? You have no objections? No?
I'm all good for now.
All good, okay. Yeah.
I
don't know, well, that makes me more nervous. Yeah.
I want to ask you now, just a second, is when we talk about Parsha Sota, so we're talking only about the Shuas HaKalim,
yeah,
and the Megillah also.
I don't know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It could be it's in the bed. Remember, I think the Rishonim, the Meiri, and others talk about it in Sota. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's, I'm not sure. I think there's a debate about it. It could be both. It could be one or the other, for sure. It doesn't really matter in terms of the if we were learning Sota, now it would matter. by which I mean, right, these are all the Hava, that's why I say the Hava Minas, the details, even the Lechatchilas, are important for each individual piece here. But in terms of the bigger picture that we're trying to present and using the examples just to exemplify that bigger picture, right, it doesn't really matter. Because whatever you could say about one, you could say about the other in both directions, as well as the possibility of distinguishing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do recall, you know, that I think that there's a discussion about that, but there's evidence in both directions, you know, that, you know, which it is, whether you're Michalik, which way you'd be Michalik, etc. But for our purposes now, you know, it's all good.
Also, I guess you want to make one other comment.
Yeah.
We'll probably get to it independently, but isn't it very likely that the Ravid's also assuming there's some degree of reenactment in, you know, Limud? Be assuming that you need Lashon HaKodesh.
Maybe. We'll get to it in a few minutes.
I mean,
it could be one, it could be any of the above.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, hold off one second, we'll talk about the Ravid. I think almost, it's hard to know. I wish the Ravid was more explicit. You know, it's quoted the name of the Ravid. Because, you know, you could say almost any of the whatever four or five things that we said might all be true lechatchila, you know, when it comes to Talmud Torah. And as such, you know, it's just hard to know. Maybe all five are true. Meaning, you know, it's, you know, well, okay. I mean, Torah Shebichtav certainly is a text, and Torah Shebaal Peh is dafka, not a text. So that, you know, clearly the Ravid is speaking about both. So the text part, I guess, you know, on Torah Shebaal Peh is not something that you can say, but we'll talk about that. But certainly the reenactment reenactment again helps on Torah Shebaal Tzav, doesn't help so much on Torah Shebaal Peh, but certainly the, you know, the question of, you know, whether Lashon HaKodesh is particularly suited, right, for explaining certain concepts, moreover, you know, being the national language of the Jewish people, you know, and you know, having the extra level of Ema. I mean, all of those, there's the national aspect, the Ema aspect, we see from Balkari, you know, if we needed to see it, we see it from Balkari, and the East, you know, that Easter, you know, the Talmud Torah, all these things, you know, apply to Talmud Torah. Right. Again, if the Ravid had limited what he said to Torah Shebaal Tzav, then it would have been easier to say, well, you can always relate to it also as a text and or Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shivim Lashon Ba'er Heitev Shivim Panim and all that. So that would always be a lechatchila. So on Torah Shebichtav, I think you have that additional element too. Since what the Ravid says clearly was, you know, about Bagisa Vayom Balayla, about Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, right, that makes it, you know, more difficult to pin down those things, and it becomes those other factors more than that. Okay, so having said that, let's just talk. Yeah.
Yeah. That might have been manifested somewhat with Torah Shebaal Peh also, as in Gemara, learning Dafka and Aramaic.
I mean, again, I think. Oh, mean that the Dafka you should speak Lishna the Gemara. You mean?
Learning the Gemara.
Well, I'll put it this way. I mean, I think you have to be very careful about that. I think this requires weighing like two considerations. On the one hand, you know, Chayv Adam Lomar, you know, Bilashon Rabba, okay, which I think has a double meaning. Okay, number one, you know, the Rebbe, whoever he is, you know, Chachmei Masora, whatever, whichever one, doesn't really matter. That's the greatness of it. You know, we respect him. We think that he had, you know, great insight. You know, he was a walking Sefer Torah, you know, who was attuned to and immersed in you know, the system, that's what we mean by that. So, you know, how he formulated things, you know, matters a lot. We don't want to misquote him, and we don't, certainly don't want to, you know, misconvey, you know, the Masorah. So, you know, the accuracy and the, you know, the ingenuity and the content of what he meant, you know, is important, you know, Bilashon Rabbo. And also, that's number one. Number two, there's an aspect of Masorah and Omer Bilashon Rabbo per se. Let's say we're great, you know, Ubergesetzers, right? Let's try to make sure that Ellie is following here. We're great translators, and, you know, we can really capture it. But there's, like, you know, symbolically, there's something to, the Rebbe used to say it this way. You know, it brings him into the classroom. You know, it brings him into the Chavrusa. So, you know, it underscores, you know, his living presence. And in that sense, it's a testament, you know, to the concept of the Masorah. So that's separate from the tochen and the wisdom and the, you know, his formulation might, you know, there might be a tochen aspect, you know, to it. So I think that that does extend, you know, even to Torah, you know, as we received it in as original a form, you know, as we did. Meaning, you know, if the Tam Babli is written, which it is in Aramaic, so, you know, I don't think it would be desirable, you know, on any level, you know, for us to be, it's good to translate it so that people can understand it, but, you know, not to ignore the original formulations, and that's why we always have to go back to it, and we have to make sure, especially in our time, this is a real challenge, because we live in a time where, you know, we've been bombarded with all these translations now in English, and you know, much better ones in English, you know, than existed previously, but even the previous ones, you know, of two generations ago, Sansino and all those, whoever did it, changed, you know, the world. And then Art Scroll and all these other ones, and in Hebrew, even better, Lashon HaKodesh. So we live in that world, and it's very easy, both because Aramaic is a hard language, and, you know, this is what made it accessible, you know, to, you know, a much bigger public, which is an amazing thing. You know, but you don't want to lose these aspects of the original formulation. So it's not desirable, you know, as good as the translations can be and are, you know, A, you don't want them to be a crutch in your own learning, because you have to learn how to read the original text for that reason, because there's nothing like the original text, and, you know, for the reasons that we are discussing. And therefore, you know, the Vakasha, you know, make liberal use if you need to, you know, of translations, but you always have to go back to the, you know, the original. And that is critical. And that's a problem, because in schools today, they're kind of, you know, in addition to all the other things that they're neglecting, you know, that's one of the things that they're neglecting. And it's a problem. It's short-sighted, and it's, you know, it's minimalist, and we should decry it and oppose it. But on the same time, you know, we, you know, do have to remember that, you know, Torah Shebal Peh is a world of concepts, and that, you know, fixing the text of how that is formulated, you know, in a way that is too exaggerated, you know, that kind of, you know, overlaps with, you know, Torah Shebetzav, is, you know, halachically problematic, you know, in a very important way as well. That's why originally Tarshim. It's true that Eis Lasas Hashem Meferet Torah Secha, and I have lessons to learn from that too, but it is a B'dieved, and the L'chatchila is a Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yeh Torah Shai L'Kosva. Again, a lot of the Rishonim explained that, you know, people always had their own notes. That's like, I mean, people's memories were just so capacious. You know, but that's different than, like, publishing them. There was something to, you know, keeping it as an oral tradition, both in terms of responsibility, I think, very much so. Again, there are chazals that say, I mean, we're getting a little off topic, but this is, I guess, part of a broader topic. But chazals say that, you know, that part of the reason that, you know, that the form of Torah Shebal Peh was preferred was to keep this something for the initiated, you know, to keep non-Jews, you know, out a little bit, or people who weren't going to, you know, invest, you know, the way that one should invest, you know, in Torah Shabbat Peh. So again, I don't think that we need to understand that in the crudest way. You know, what do you mean to keep other people out or to keep other nations out? I think what it means is that two things, and here's where they converge. Number one, there's a certain achrayut and a certain maximal immersion that is required, you know, if you're going to have an oral tradition. Like, you just have to be incredibly dedicated and careful and scrupulous. You don't want to mess it up. You know that it depends on your memory, and if you're responsible, you know, the next generation depends on you, you know, so you want to make sure to get it right. So all of that is, you know, it builds in tremendous rigor and tremendous achrayus, and I think it helps you create a certain kind of kinyan, you know, for yourself, which also adds to your nofech mishalcha, the kiddush part. That's kind of the irony, dichotomy, dialectic, if you will, that is again part of parcel of what Torah is. On the one hand, it's preserving it and giving it to the next generation. On the other hand, that preserving, you know, includes Kamash and Talmud, Basik, Asa, the Chadesh, Ne'amah, the Moshe, Sinai, your own, you know, understanding of it, but based on not jumping the gun and putting your imprimatur on it, but based on trying to preserve it, you know, and trying to respect it, you know, and so on. So it when the Midrashim or Chazal say, or the Gemaras say, that, you know, this is the preferred method, and Esas Hashem is a b'diavad, you know, that, you know, it's not just to keep, to confine it, or to restrict it, or, you know, Marashaki Hilas Yaakov, you know, Ma'urasa, but it is a way of guaranteeing a certain level of involvement with it, and a certain ideal of internalizing it, you know, which is part of what adds, the condition adds, the preservation and the hemshekiyutz of one generation, you know, to the next. In addition, it, because of that, it also guarantees, you know, that this remains ideas and concepts, and that there is a certain power, you know, in that, in the ability to, kind of what I just said, evolve and to explain new, or apply to new circumstances, etc. Whereas if it was a fixed text, you're kind of stuck. And there's a difference between a human text, as much as Chayav Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabbo, and you know, both respecting and projecting, you know, that earlier generation's, you know, greatness in formulation and understanding, and again, the respect for Mesorah, and so on and so forth. But with all of that, you do have to add an Ofach Mishoka, and especially apply it to a world in flux. And part of that is the fact that you have to be aware that it's a world of ideas, right? And that there's a certain flexibility in that. So both on the conservative, you know, aspect, the preservative part of it, as well as in the flexible and chiddush part of it, you know, Torah Shabbat Peh, you know, needs to unfold the way that it needs to unfold. Having said that, so there is a value in the original texts, since Esos Lasas Hashem Eper Teru Secha, and this is the way that it was handed down to us, you know, and you know, it was with text, so we incredibly respect that. But you always, you know, after the B'diavad, have to remember the L'chatchila, you know, which is Torah Shem Pabal Peas or L'Kosva. So you have to be mindful of both of these things, and never to be so exaggerated, you know, in the textual aspect of Torah Shabbat Peh, you know, that it holds you back, or that it becomes something that it shouldn't become. Right? So I don't think, you know, we should be, you know, trying to say new chidushei Torah or have our discussions in Aramaic. Lashon HaKodesh maybe still, because it has its own status, as we have indicated. But I don't think it means that, if we could just translate, you know, Lu Yitzuya, we could translate perfectly the Gemara, you know, why not just, you know, learn it straight, or just go straight to the, whoever it is, you know, whoever the translator of the art scroller, the Steinsaltz, the Sansino, the, you know, Marcus Jastrow, We didn't really do the Gemara, the whole company, the dictionary. But the, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that we're clapping Al-Khayt and saying, oh, it would be amazing if we could do that in English. As for Hebrew, maybe, but I think that that's where you really run into this kind of dialectic. You know, but it's still the Lashon of Rama, the Lashon of Beis Hillel, or the original discussions in their original language. There's always something to that, or for that. Okay? So this is, I think, a really important and interesting issues. Sorry, taking much longer. Okay, so when it comes to some of the others, we started talking about them. I just want to talk about a couple of them very quickly. So let's talk first about the sugya right in front of us, because that's what we're obligated to talk about. And that is Shuas Eidos, Shuas Pikadon, and Shuas Adayanin. So as I said the other day, I'm just repeating now what I said, which is that Shuas Adayanin has the yichus on the side of the Rimigash that it is imposed by and in the framework of Beis Din. And therefore, it doesn't make it more of a text, but it does make it more of a formal Klal Yisrael, Beis Din, both on the Pasnish side as well as on the Ema side. Anybody have the Lashonos of the Kesem Mishnah and the Radvaz, by the way? If you just get to them, if not all, I'll open them in a second. What is it, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha? Halacha Ches, I think. So, that it certainly has. Moreover, there may be another element in Shuas Adayanim as well, and that is, part of the, Iyum here in the Mishnah is, you're taking the Shvua, but you're not taking the Shvua according to, your own subjective, dictionary, but, al das, again, almost like a Yoma, resonance. Al-Datenu ve-Al-Das, Al-Das Bezdin ve-Al-Das Hamakom, meaning a way also of ensuring, what the appropriate intent or meaning that we hold you to in these objective proceedings which affect other parties, that also requires formal language and language of.
In a way, because of the emphasis in the Gemara, especially within the context of the Dayanim, about using Shua Hamura
v'Torah,
is that in a way,
I think so.
Form of recreation of that, or like we're using specifically that text.
Right, again, it's almost like, Torah Shabbat matters in the Shua. So again, formalism, Ema, Iyum, or maybe even, some sort of a real, or invoking some aspect of a text that out of objective language, 100%. I think it's not a coincidence that we use that that expression. So Shuas HaDayanim, again on the Rimigash side, I think the Rimigash will tell you that, Shuas HaDayanim is one thing, and Shuas HaEdos and Shuas HaPikadon are not that either. I think in addition, let me say it the other way, on the other side of it, for the other Rishonim, how can the Mishnah mention Shuas HaEdos and Shuas HaPikadon and doesn't mention Shuas HaDayanim? They might think that at least Shuas HaEdos, Shuas Bitu, and Shuas HaDayanim have the advantage of being the mechayev is the shvua, right? Or that it's a hafla. One or the other. I don't think it's impossible. Masa inken shuas adiyanim, which is birur, whether it's pius birur or something more. But the role that the shvua isn't the main story in Toin Benitan and Shuas Adayanim. On the one hand, it's more than the others, because even within the Din Torah, right, it's playing a role, and that's what gives it the cover of Dayanim and so on. On the other hand, as a standalone, right, it's just part of, it's a mechanism, it's a method, it's part of the Din Torah, where Shuas Eidos and Shuas HaPikadon are Mechayvim Bifnei Atzmam, or Haflos. For the Rimigash, it might be, by the way, because we saw that the Rimigash holds a Shuas HaEdos, basically Shuas Bitui, a specialized Shuas Bitui. Right? We saw this in the Rimigash on Chafei Amid Beis. We saw it again in the Rimigash in the beginning of the fourth parak. So for him, it's just a no-brainer. There's an interesting discussion about Shuas Bitui. Shuas Bitui is not discussed in the Gemara, and it's not on the Mishnah. Yet the kind of like a Mishnah brings it up, right? You have it there, the line?
Yeah.
In Perek Yud Aleph? Right, he assumes that it goes together with the others, not with Dayanim. Before we get to that, maybe I'll just look, we should look at the Rambam very quickly. What do you have? Say again? Yeah. So that's interesting that we call Shuas Eidos Dami Levitui. That works very well according to the Rima Gash.
But that's what's in Shitas Rambam. When he's going for Raposo with the Rambam.
Yeah.
So then he has Bitui with Dayanim.
I mean, for the Rimigash.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. I don't think it's true. You have the line there? That's the Rimigash.
Yeah.
I don't think it's true. I mean, the Rimigash doesn't say that. And the Rimigash holds that Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitui are very connected. He thinks even Shavuos Eidos is a kind of Shavuos Bitui. But where you put Shavuos Bitui and whether there's even, I would say the reason Shavuos Bitui is not in the Mishnah is because, you know, Mela at least Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos Eidos, you know, it's Mipia Toveya, and you know there's a Choshem Mishpat side to it, and it's an act of Gezel. I mean, there's a certain formalism in it. Shavuos Bitui is an elective, you know, Shavua, right? It's a personal Shavua. What's the issue even? So the Lech Mishnah, in my opinion, is very, very strange. But what is it? Who do you have the language of the Kesem Mishnah and the Radbaz? Josh, you have it there?
I was going to say something else.
What?
Other guys, I was going to say something else.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
No, just that when the Nitziv does the same conversation, so, and he says something really interesting about
who's
that.
Who's he?
The Nitziv.
Oh, Nitziv.
He says something very interesting about that, and he says, but by Bito it can't be, because there's no, like, it's no better than using like a different language would be no better than a yad or a kinu.
A yad or kinu l'ned or l'shvua.
Right.
I think he means what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just confirming.
And what does he say about Dayanim? I don't remember.
He says that you need l'chatchila because of shvua Hashem tiyavin shnei. It's very important.
He said, I have the lashon.
Yeah.
So he says,
where's this?
This is on Rumi Sada and Lamechas.
Oh, okay.
So he says, it's based on the Rashi and Tosfos and so on. So, but he says, "With Shuas Adonim, I am as given the Shuas Hashem Tiavin Shneim, a mitzvah she yehate the Shuas Hashem she tishbiya as Israel Blash Hakodesh."
So again, like invoking formal language.
Yeah, and it much more than just the ema of the Radbaz.
Right. The Radbaz. Anybody have the language of the Radbaz?
Yeah.
Eitan, go ahead. What is it? Yud Aleph.
It's Yud Aleph.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay, because if it's Iyum, it doesn't make sense that it could substitute for Aban. Had it been textual or something of that sort, that would be a much more difficult call. And the Kesem Mishnah you have there also?
The Obanov?
Yeah.
The Epshar the Lo Medina Kari El Mishum the Havik the Obanov, the Dina Im Yashmu, Belashan Acheres, Midilo Amurabosab, Shivasadian, Eno El Belashan Akodesh. Mashba Dab, the Dabakishahim, Mashbin also, Mipia, while Imhu Nishba, Imbekakbo. Alashan Hora, Kasha de Mashma, the Medina Kam.
Yeah, so number one, he wants to say it isn't Medina. Number two, he wants to distinguish between Mipiatsmo kind of and Mipiakeir, or Kofatz Vinishba, or whatever it is. I don't think that either of those are compelling. He kind of doesn't really think so either. But he's basically, the Kesef Mishnah and the Radbaz are both a testament to how difficult they feel this Rimigash is. Right? So they say it's Ema, they say it's Obana, you know, Dedaina, it's Pasnish, basically. So that can't be Ma'akev, can it? And, says the Kesef Mishnah, it's not Pasnish if the guy, you know, is Nijba, it's just pasnished, you know, if the Dayanim, you know, are Majbiya him, you know, it's like, you know, like you want to say, you know, Rabbi Sayim Revel Invention, you know, you don't say Rabbi Sayim Revel Invention, you know, you say Rabbi Sayim of Arek. I'm joking, but meaning like, you know, but I think that both of these views, Ubudin Adayna and Ema, might be actually ma'akev for the rimigash, as I said before, because maybe it shows it's not just the effect, like it's not appropriate. Like the Yonim don't know Hebrew, they can't be much beyond Hebrew, you know? Or it's not that, this is a formal proceeding in Beis Din. You know, it's not a voluntary shvua like shvuas eidus and shvuas hapikdon, or shvuas bitui, right? This is under the rubric of Beis Din, it requires formal language, you know? And, or, you know, maybe part of that is the ema part. It has to be a shvua built into which, based on the language that is used, has an element of Ema. Now the question what to do, you know, when you have to sacrifice Havana, that's still, I think, an open and interesting question. But these are some things. Just to note that the Rambam himself, and this is what I was trying to say before, he has this in a few places. He has Yud Aleph Ches, right? Shvut Sadiyana Ben Shosu Shal Torah Shal Devrein Ben Chanzvade Ben Safek Kachi Nishba Uches Sefer Torah Bitzro B'Shem B'Kinui V'Ho Rabosa Shem Mashbi In Shvut Sadiyana Ben Lashon HaKodesh. Here he doesn't say that he disagrees. Right? That's what I meant by another example where he's not, he doesn't, obviously he doesn't, we'll see in a moment that he doesn't think this is ma'akev, but it sounds like it fits in to the other things that he's saying here, which is, it's a shvua chamura, right? And your ochez, your nikitas chayfetz, your nishba v'shemu b'kinui, all of which are Rambam Shitas, right? Mipivo mipiadayonim, right? So it fits in like a glove that maybe you even require Lashon HaKodesh. Although we don't think it's ma'akev and we don't paskin that way, right? So then later on, Yud Aleph, how does it go? Hadayonim shishbiya below nikitas chayfetz biyado horei letoin v'choz v'nishbav sefer tor biyado v'machaz tefil biyado v'shbiyu hein achoz v'nishbav shari achaz Torah biyado, who kamos sefer hain. What's that? Yeah, his biyum yishev ein achozer v'nishba. Tamid chacham lechat chila mashbin also v'hu yoshev hu tefillin biyado. Right. V'ein tzorach lital sefer Torah letefillin v'nishba b'lashon hakodesh kamosha biyarnu. Ah, that's what I was referring to Joey before. Where is he? He's not even here. Oh, there he is. Oh, he moved up. Okay, good. So, meaning, it sounds like if you're nishba, you know, b'lashon hakodesh, I'm sorry, it sounds like if you're nishba b'tefillin, like Talmud Chacham, it sounds like there's some sort of a combination of, you know, the Talmud Chacham b'tefillin, you know, being, and b'lashon hakodesh. Right? I mean, the Ram doesn't really hold that you, that the lashon hakodesh is ma'akev, it's only Oru Rabosai. How did it get it make its way into what does it have to do with the Talmud Chacham being Ochez Tefillin? Right? It's just curious, seemingly curious. And then Yud Aleph Yud Dalid. Right? Hadayonim Shishbius Anishba Bechol Lashon Shehu Makira Arezu Kimitzvasa Chein Ora Gonim Ahura Bosa Hora Shem Ashbin Ela B'Lashon HaKodesh Ve'ein Roi Lismoch Al Hora Zu Afi Shinogu Kol Batidim Lashbi B'Lashon HaKodesh Tzorch laudia sanishba ad shiye makir lashon hashvua. Mishvus adiyam mishvus hapikadam ba'atzma. Ooh. Ba'at shvus heses nagu kolam lashbiyo sub lashon hakodesh. So this is what I meant. If you take all these three Rambams together, right? The first time he mentions it, he mentions the psak of the rimigash. Right? And, you know, it sounds like he's saying, I don't hold that way, or I don't think it's ma'ake, but it's not clear 100%. It was just, you know, giving credit, Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, you know. Certainly it doesn't sound like he's unhappy about it. The next time he's talking about the Talmud Chacham who's doing the Kitas Chayfetz B'Tfilin, and he'd say he just throws it in, you know, as a Dover Pashut, that he's doing it B'Lashon HaKodesh. Now again, I don't know whether the Rambam would say, I mean it would be sensational if the Rambam was going to say that a Talmud Chacham who does the Kitas Chayfetz B'Tfilin, it must be B'Lashon HaKodesh. If somebody wanted to be an Akshan and say that's what the Rambam's saying, you know, I wouldn't argue too hard. I if he said it, I'd be surprised, just because it's just too, a little bit too mechudash given everything else. But I would be very thrilled also, you know, even though I just don't believe it. If I would believe it, I'd be happy about it. But let me say it this way so I can have my cake and eat it too. The fact that he writes it in a way that someone could read it that way is telling. Meaning clearly he doesn't think that Lashon HaKodesh is insignificant. He thinks for sure L'chatchila, and he might even give you the impression that, you know, what, he's a Talmid Chacham and he's going to do Nikitas Chepes with Tefillin, and it's going to be, you know, B'kal Lashon.
Yeah, Kamosha
Biarna, that, like, you know, that I approve. Right, I think. But maybe that isn't Ma'akev. Then you get Halacha Yudalid, maybe because, I don't think that his editor called him up and said, you know, people might have the impression, you know, that you hold this way, because you said it, you didn't say no, even though you said the whole Rabbah's side. The second time you did say Kamosha Biarnu, but you made it seem like the Talmud Chacham requires it. And I'm saying, what do you mean? And I said the Talmud Chacham requires it with the Tefillin. I didn't say everybody requires it. You know, just make it clear, if you don't mind. You don't get any lawsuits or whatever. So, you know, write halal. I don't think that's what happened. Pretty sure the Rambam didn't have an editor. Probably he was his own best editor. But I think this is a classic, and we see this again and again and again, right? Where the Rambam, you know, diffuses sometimes his treatment of a topic, and it's an, you know, an indicator, conscious or subconscious, doesn't really matter to me, as long as this is still true and accurate, you know, what he really thinks, which is, even now, when he finally says, you know, understand, right? Harezu kemitzvasa. Right, avo rabosai horush ein mashbi in ela b'lashna kodesh. Right, you can't ein mashbi, meaning that it's ma'akev. You can't do. But in the end of the day, why does he tell you? Right, but it shouldn't come at the expense of being ma'akev. Maybe the whole point is that, you know, the only reason I don't embrace the Rimigash completely is because of the ma'akev problem. Maybe, or just to make sure. But shvus adyanim. By the way, also, that's a strange comment, right? That's his way of saying, you know, I think it goes on that list in the Mishnah, not on the other list, and that's an important point anyway. The af shvuas heses nogu kolam lesbia. Who cares what they were knowing? I mean, this is the Rambam saying the kiyum of Lashon HaKodesh fits in perfectly with the more formalized view of shvuas adayanim, with Nikitas Chepetz, all the other things, you know, there's this aura, if you will, right? Not Iyum, by the way, for the Rambam, as we already discussed, because Iyum has nothing to do with Nikitas Chepetz for the Rambam, right? Just the Lecha Mishnah thought it did, because he was reading it, Laor, Ramban, and the Ran, and the others. But I mean, the aura, the Hagdara, what it means to make a Shvua, you know, and that's why, you know, the overcompensation for Talmud Chacham, who is doing it betzvillin, so again, I don't know if it's ma'ake, but the Lashon HaKodesh is even more. But even in Hesed, we appreciate Lashon HaKodesh, even though we're not going to sacrifice Maven for it, you know, and we're not going to say that b'di'eved, it's ma'akev. So I think that's the picture that really emerges. And in addition to, again, the Rambam using three halachos to kind of, you know, tell you what's a chatchila, what's b'di'eved, you know, what's going on here. Once again, you know, the Rimigash, you know, effect or factor, whatever you want to call it, quotient, right, is there. I mean, the Rambam, even when he argues with the Rimigash, you know, finds a way, or, you know, he doesn't dismiss the Rimigash. You know, he appreciates, you know, and is enlightened and illuminated, you know, by the Rimigash. Okay. That's that. I'm probably going to have to stop in a minute, and I really want to think it further, but let me just finish what I'm going to talk about in here, at least. So with regard to Tefillah, we talked a little bit the other day, you know, why Tefillah would even be something to talk about, the Matir component, of course, the fact that there are components in Tefillah itself, and that, you know, Tefillah may be Doraisa, according to the Rambam, maybe Doraisa based Tzara, according to the Ramban, but the very notion of Tefillah may require Lashon HaKodesh in terms of the Matir part, and by that I mean also, very specifically, just like the Gemara's use the example of, you know, the Shevach that the Sugya and Megillah and Tainus, you know, about, you know, you can't just be Marbe, you know, B'Shevach, you know, Habore. You can only, because that's presumptuous, like, who are you to be Meshabeach and Rabbanu Shalom? And, you know, moreover, once you start, you know, if you do have license, then you should never be stopping, because that would imply, you know, that there's a limit on the deserved Shevach. So the only way to get out of that double conundrum, right, A, you know, you should keep going. B, how do you say anything? Like, who are you to say b'mishabeach somebody or something, some whatever? You have to have a kind of a kesher. You have to, where you're assessing, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom, Dibrei Shevach is also an assessment, right? So all of that is part of the, you know, the matir idea. But it makes a lot of sense, you know, that the specifics then would follow, just like you need, you know, an order, you know, let's say, you know, in Shemoneh Esrei itself, so you need, you know, Shevach, Bakasha, Hoda'ah, and just as the Rav used to explain, like, you know, you meet Matirim along the way, like, you know, Pesukei Dezimra, you know, etc., right? So too, you need Anshei Knesset HaGedola, right? We very much, you know, discourage people from, you know, making up their own tefillos. There's, what we do encourage is, you know, parts of the tefillah, you know, where you can be mechadesh b'tefillah, like in Shemoneh Esrei or Shema Kolenu or some of the others, right? But within the framework, part of the reason for that is our strong conviction, you know, about the matir issue, as well as what I mentioned the other day in the name of Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, which is this, you know, appreciation that we have for the infinite wisdom, you know, and of the composers of tefillah, you know, both the words where they compose them and the structure, you know, where, you know, that's something that we don't think we have the ability to do. That, you know, I mentioned in the past that in the world of Brisk in particular, they were very mistayed. They're very, very reticent about piyutim, you know, and about any kind of even small changes in minhagei beis haknesses, and certainly tefillah. And the reason, because of all this, this is the reason. I mean, it's this whole idea, this double reason which is connected. One, the matir theme, right? In other words, it's one thing for me to be mispalel in the language of, you know, of the avos. You know, tefillas keneged avos tikkun, or using the language of David HaMelech, you know, or, you know, maybe even, you know, quoting, you know, the piyutim of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Well, that obviously, you know, as you go further, it becomes. But you know, to compose your own tefillah, right? There's a matir question there, and there's also a capacity question there. So. Again, the Ibn Ezra speaks about this in the opposite way, in his Perush on Koheles, as I recall, Altvaheles Picha. You know, he talks about this question, like who has the right to compose piyutim, almost like a parallel opposite, you know, presentation. But the idea that, you know, piyutim should not interrupt tefillah. You know, on the Amud Noraim, which was a stance, a brisker stance, to some extent, again, we have many piyutim that we do include, was also part of this whole consideration. Number one, you don't want to disrupt, like, the regular Nusach HaTfilah, or keeping the regular Nusachos HaTfilah as much as possible, like, you know, instead of Oseh HaShalom, Mevarech HaSamay Yisrael BaShalom. It's the Mesorah that they had, and often the Gra, you know, in particular. But it's this idea that, oh, the original tefillos, there's a lot that goes into them, and you wouldn't want to tamper with that. as well as, you know, this samater question, like, you know, can you, are you good at it? And even if you're good at it, like, should you? If this is, you know, the old traditional, you know, core, you know, body of tefillah, then you have to respect that. And then that's, you know, that's what your nichnas lefnai v'lefnim in tefillah and that relationship with as well. So the idea that tefillah might have required Lashon HaKodesh, and that some of the actual composition of the tefillahs themselves, for the matir reason and for the capacity, adequacy, you know, I think, I mean, I'm saying a lot of, I'm applying a lot of this in my own way, clearly, but I think that's one. The question of Birchas HaMazon, similarly, because again, the components of Birchas HaMazon are Daraisa, right? Bris and Yerushas Haaretz and Torah and so on. And again, it is the only, according to some, the only bracha Daraisa, according to others, one of the rare brachos Daraisa, the Chalta V'Savata Uvirachta. And again, the whole connection to Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogod Lokeinu of Birchas HaTorah, even from the Ramban, I think I noted this when we discussed it on the Mondays, that, you know, the Ramban thinks that Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa, but it's fascinating how he repeats the whole Shach Levitari of the Gemara in Brachos Daf Kabbalah, as if to say, there's still a lot to understand, you know, in the connection between Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah. It isn't just, you know, Havamina, maybe what about Bracha Lefaneha here, what about Bracha Lachreha there, like, then why bother with it in Sefer Mitzvos, you know, when the printer's charging you by the word, you know, if he was. But either way, the Ramban is not verbose, gratuitously, but he seems to think that whole Shak of Atayah of the Gemara, maybe it's because of the relationship between Chai Olam and Chai Shah, you know, physical pleasure and you know, purpose and telos, but maybe it's also because of something, again, very special about Birchas HaMazon and the order of Birchas HaMazon. So again, it's V'chalta V'savata V'irachta, but on another level, it seems like a very basic core thing. That's why it's maybe the only or one of the rare brachos d'oraisa. But there's a way to thank in the halacha. The idea of being modeh, this has a whole Torah to it also. I'm just not going to go into it now. But, you know, hodah, shevach and hodah are not just, you know, kind of broad mechaivim. Right? How you're modeh, right? Even modim d'oraisa and the modim of Shemoneh Esrei and the modim d'rabbanan reflect this. We're modeh and modim d'rabbanan. We're modeh that we can be modeh in a way. That we have the right to be modeh and that we hit the right notes in our hodah. So the idea of a basic elemental thank you, you know, for the food that sustains us is on the one hand like very elemental. But on the other hand, the fact that midoraisa there are components that have to go into it highlight, you know, that it's formal and it's structured and it's thought out. There's a Torah of Birchas HaMazon. I mean, you have to learn, you know, the seventh parak of Brachos well, you know, to understand it. So I'm not saying you should do that as a whole, you know, year-long limud. You know, if you're going to do that, you might as well learn kulin. But in the summer, you know, what's that? Kulin or the seventh parak? Seventh parak of Brach. Yeah, that's a good choice. So or the sixth parak, either one. But yeah, that these are the components of Birchas HaMazon, and therefore the idea that, you know, they have to be formulated properly and they have to invoke certain things, as you know, makes really a lot of sense. The difference between vidui maestros and mikro bikurim is intriguing, and again, a lot could be said about it. Just one second. By the way, regarding Birchas HaMazon, there's also a question whether there even was a hava mina and whether there's a din of tzarich lahavin, which is part of the equation there as well. And regarding tefillah, the role of tefillah rachmininhu is part of the equation as well. Again, I just don't want to get, you know, too bogged down. Regarding kriyashrim, we talked about the Rambam and the Ravid about the question of tirgum. B2 we talked about. Vidui maestros, I want to talk about this for a minute. And mikra, again, the question of habana and tefillah is also part of the story. Okay. Vidri Maestros and Mikra Bikurim is interesting because, as we noted, Vidri Maestros does not require Lashon HaKodesh, but Mikra Bikurim does. The question is, why should we make this distinction? So, I think that, I'm trying to remember who says this, one of the later Akronim I once saw. Excuse me just one second. Yeah. Oh, I think actually Tzohar Tamima has this comment. He says, Bikurim is Lashon HaKodesh because Bikurim refers to Klal Yisrael. And it's made on behalf of the Lashon is Lashon Rabbit. And you do it, Bekahal. And Vidui Maestros is something Ubiarti HaKodesh Min Abayis, which is more individual. So again, I think, by the way, this is an interesting question, a parallel question about Geirin, which we'll talk about just maybe very quickly on Tuesday, because I still want to get to the middle Gemaras there, a couple about Geirus and Drabanans, very quickly, though. Vidui Maestros and Bikurim, which you know are adjacent to each other, but are different. Apparently, Vidui Maestros is a more personal expression, and Mikra Bikurim is a more national expression. Again, it's not a coincidence that the Mikra Bikurim plays the role that it plays in the Haggadah and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we mentioned. It's the drasha of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting, like on the distinction between Yachid and Sibur, that like, and the Rambam talks about Tzibur.
Yes.
In the Pirkei Mishnayos on Sota, so he says that you can be in the Skanin of the Koloshan, the Medvar Morim, the Tzibor. Have a Hayyafid, Yishtalo, Me'o, Chilis, Pal Hashem, El Golosh Hayyafid.
Oh, yeah.
In the opposite direction.
Right. Interesting. So, maybe that's when you have the Tzibor, this, maybe the idea is that the Tzibor, the Tfilas HaTzibor, is a Tfilas HaTzibor by the virtue of the Tzibor. And we find often that that the tefillah of the yachid requires some sort of tziruf with the notion of the tzibur. For example, if you can't make a minyan, right? So you should try, you know, if possible, you know, to daven at the time of the minyan and the tzibur, or other things as well that kind of indicate. So maybe the high point is that then you need the, in order to be mitzarev to the tzibur, you need the lashon of Klal Yisrael. Maybe. But right, one would have thought the opposite. I'd say the question of tefillah b'lashon HaKodesh or b'kol lashon, I'd say was a huge, and there you have to look at those chasam sofers also, because that was just a huge issue in the time of the Reform. That was one of the first things, you know, that they did, was they said, you know, the Mishnah says in Sota, that the original Reforms with a small r, of the Reform with a big R, capital R, movement, and this is the way it always happens, you know, were not necessarily, obviously, antinomian. They weren't, you know, necessarily against the halacha. And they certainly weren't about the bigger issues, you know, either way. The point is that the, you know, Talmid Chachamim, Bali Halacha, that those generations understood, you know, that those are the kind of Achilles' heels, and that, you know, there's a perspective on Mesorah, you know, which leads to other things, and which in itself is kind of offensive, and that's why they, you know, stood fast, you know, against it. And again, it's a phenomenon in testing and pushing, and you know, and it's something that sadly b'chol dar v'dar, you know, we have to go through again in Klal Yisrael torturously, but it's, you know, again, you also have to use wisdom. You have to know when something really is innocuous, or when something is is more flexible, you know, and when, you know, to say yikovat in the sahar, because you understand, you know, that symbolically and otherwise, you know, it's a siag, but a siag not in the technical sense, but in the bigger sense of, you know, the values and other things and so on. So the tshuvas in that period about tefillah, b'loshon hakodesh in particular, again, everybody knows there were certain like things, you know, where's the bima, and, you know, things that were, you know, yesh makom, you know, ladun. And then it got much worse. I mean, the roas hanolad there was pretty incredible. Didn't take very long. Never does. But it pushed some of the poskim, right, to analyze this question of Lashon HaKodesh and Kol Lashon in very interesting ways. You know, maybe sometime as a phenomenon, it's interesting to do that. But, we'll leave it for the moment. You want to say something, Ellie?
Just one to the round of the question. Can I just be that you want the field to just be a fetus? So you have to say no Lashon is the Lashon or Matthew.
Say that again?
Is it just possible that you have to say no Lashon or Kodesh, the Lashon will be Matthew to Lashon, and the field to see where it's always Mishnah?
Maybe it's Mechalik between Pesach and Tefillah.
Maybe. I can't say no. I'm guessing that it's what I think, but maybe. Okay.
The Ram was very into that in general. Like, also like the Tshuva, the Rabbin.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ram was very into that idea that the Tshuva is more Mekubal and Tzibor.
No, 100%. Right, that's what I'm saying. That is Mekubal. Here you have to be Mitzarif to the Tzibor. So, since you're not Mitzarif to the Tzibor, you at least need the formal language of the Klal Yisrael and of the Tzibor. That's what I think. But, okay.
Just, if that sums over, when the way you downplay them, it's just kind of like in the reverse, like, I would expect, like, from a public policy, from like to be koveya for the tzibor, says we would never have allowed it in the Mishnah.
Yeah, he basically says that's only the yachid. Right, that's the Chassam Sofer's perspective, which is opposite of the Pirush Mishnah is, but that's the way you would have expected it. So that's what I'm referring to it. But if you saw it, that's his point of view. He says not the tzibor, because that's yachid, it's a different level of tefillah. But whenever you need formal tefillah with a minyan, darvish mikdusha in a pesach knesses, so of course you need b'lashon hakodesh. That's the language of tefillah, the language of the Jewish people. That's maximalist tefillah. So yeah. So these are good examples of how it goes opposite. So let's speak for a minute about kol ha'Torah kula b'lashon hakodesh nemra. Oh, what about birchas kohanim? That also, again, pretty much we could just plug it in. All these things are interesting. What about, I'm going to finish in two more minutes because that's not fair. What about two more things I just wanted to speak about? Again, First, the Kol Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra or B'Kalashon Nemra. So what does that refer to? And then I want to speak about Tosas and Sota for a second. What does that refer to, Avi? So Rashi says it refers to what?
Aiden.
What? Rashi says Kriyas Torah, right?
Oh.
But Kriyas Torah be-Beis HaKnesses, actually. What? What does he add?
Well, I think Rashi? There are two different suggestions, right? So one is just for the public Kriyas Torah.
Yeah.
The second is to have a Chalos Kedusha, say, for Torah. Like Benin Geniza, or also to, I guess, read it in public.
Yeah. So that, of course, makes a lot of sense. And that could either be one of three things, right? The pashtus instead of Torah Shebichtav. And where you're relating to it, b'toras, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibor, right, is dafka Torah Shebichtav. And therefore, the way you relate, part of how you relate to it is, there the Lashon HaKodesh as text. Is B'Lashon HaKodesh. The issue that the Baalei Tosfos discuss is that Drabanan, maybe that if Kriyas HaTorah is only Drabanan, so, how could that be? It sounds like this is a Dindaraisa, correct? What do they say about that?
Sorry, I just missed that.
I'm saying the Baalei Tosfos are troubled because they think Kriyas HaTorah is only Drabanan.
Right.
So what do they say? What's that? Yeah, because there are certain parshas that are Doraisa, right? And then the question is, so are you Mechalik between the parshas Doraisa and Drabanan? Or mid the parshios that are daraisa, we understand what the nature of the takana of the rabbanan of kriyas haTorah is as well. Mainly, it's kriya kichsava, it's kriya of a text, right? So that's an interesting question that goes into the question in general about, you know, how you understand kriyas haTorah. It's why the different brachos, a little touching on our, again, our first semester, you know, Monday topics, you know, if you recall, you know, the Achronim, the Rishonim, they really talk so much about. I mean, the Rishonim talk about the question of discrepancies between, you know, Kriya, the Tzibur, and Kriyas Yachid, in terms of, you know, Bracha, why is there Bracha L'Achreha, and Kriya the Tzibur, not Kriya the Yachid. That's a big discussion in the Rishonim Shabbat Leket, and the Rajba, and the Ritva, and so on. They say different interesting things, some technical and some, you know, very fundamental, as well as, you know, a few other issues, you know, that come up. But the Achronim speak much more about, you know, when they talk about, again, you know, also in terms of, I should add, you know, what the relationship is between, you know, the Birkas HaTorah that you say in the morning and the need for a separate Birkas HaTorah. Why do you need a separate Birkas HaTorah? The different formulations of that question also go to the question, to the heart of the issue, you know, how, what is Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, and how does it relate to regular Limud HaTorah and Birkas HaTorah? Both of those questions, Bracha Akreha, and the need for a Bracha, and the Nusach HaBracha, Lefanav, as well, all three of those. Then the Achronim speak about, you know, applying some of the other issues, like if the Ramban really holds a Birkas HaTorah is Daraisa, or if the Ramban really holds a Birkas HaTorah is Rabbanan, you know, what do they each, or what do those two camps, we'll say, think are the implications, you know, for, you know, Birkas HaTorah? Will they say Hu Adin? Will they say Kol Shekein? Will they say, you know, in the other direction, Kol Shekein? In other words, Rabbanan Kol Shekein, Daraisa Kol Shekein? So that really, you know, in addition to other things, and then of course you have really a whole bunch of other things, Tos in the Sefer Torah, you know, when, you know, you may, whether you make another bracha or not, and who can be called, and, you know, who has to be hearing it. All sorts of different, again, you know, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, you know, part of Maseches Megillah, another good summer lingua, by the way, that, you know, will, all these are questions that go into how we look at the relationship between, you know, Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur and Limud HaTorah as a mitzvah. But the possibility that, you know, either it's specifically a din in, you know, Torah Shebichsav, or maybe even reenactment with the Sirsur and the things that we mentioned before, all of those make Kriyas HaTorah, you know, the Tzibur part per se, the Torah Shebichsav part, the reenactment part, all of them make Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, you know, a particularly good candidate for Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. Then you have the Rabbeinu Chananel, who has an interesting perspective, who says basically that Kol Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Namra only means Nitna, right? And he tries to downplay it, even according to that Mandamar, right? And he emphasizes, after all, it's Ba'er Etev, you know, B'Shivim Lashon. So, but what that I think highlights is the reenactment or the, you know, origins factor. In other words, whenever we're looking at the origin, you know, or the beginning, the reenactment, so then you're going to require Lashon HaKodesh still. Right. Even though he seems to be saying, he doesn't say this about the things that are only Namar and Lashon HaKodesh. He's saying about this Achokas Rabbi and the Chachamim of whether or not Kol Torah Kula Namra B'Lashon HaKodesh, you know, is about origins. So that's an interesting perspective. Then you have the Ravid, who quoted by the Shita Mugubetzis and Brachos, says that it refers to Talmud Torah, that it refers to V'Hagisa V'Yom V'Laila, and that L'Chatchila, there should be Limud in Hebrew. I guess that's what David Lifshitz, according to the Bracha, was trying to say about the Ivris versus the Goyish. So I guess the question whether Yiddish, where does Yiddish stand, was almost like where does, you know, you know, where does, you know, the Lishna of the Gemara stand, right? Aramaic. So, you know, it was a long time language of the Jewish people, but, you know, definitely not Lashon HaKodesh. So this question of, does that mean, you know, reenactment, or is that, you know, a Balkari din of Mora, or is it, you know, imply that, you know, here you're connecting up with these, you know, concepts, you know, that belong to Klal Yisrael, that belong to the original Bria Sa'olam, the Yud Mamarim. Again, it's hard to say. He doesn't think that it only applies to Torah Shebitzah. If somebody had said that, you know, any time you do, you know, Limud HaTorah B'Ksav, that it should be B'Lashon, I can envision such a view.
Chris thinks that it's only talking about...
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
it definitely doesn't sound that way at all. I mean, quotes Vagis of Yom Malayla. Where does he say that, the Grizz?
In Sotel on the Gilman.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He says it because his question, which leads into it, is he says that there's obviously a Kim in Talmud Torah, just even for Machshava of Torah.
Right.
So if that's true, then of course, whatever language.
Right, but the writer didn't say there's no Kiyum. He's clearly saying Machatchila. He's not saying B'Di'Eved. He's just saying that Rebbe's, that the remark called Torah Kula, the Lashon HaKodesh, means that L'chatchila, you should do Limud. And he quotes Vagisa Vayom Malayla.
He what?
Your
rabbi says you're not Yotze.
You're not Yotze, that dimension, you have to say. But he himself is quoting Vagisa Vayom Malayla. Right? You have language of the rabbi?
Yeah. Hello, Rabbi Zachas of Zelishan. Hadid Aikinu Rabbana and Ahtore and Nemer Koloshan and Lo.
And saying he quotes Vagisava. So Vagisava Yom Malayla is the Pasuk in Yoshua. It clearly is not only talking about Torah Shebitzah. And the Gemara quotes it in Menachos on Daf Tzadi Tes, right, when it talks about, you know, what I call the minimalist or the maximalist, you know, issue. In other words, whether Yotze be, you know, Krishna Shakras Yarvis, or you have to be, you know, Vagisav Yom Valayla day and night, or during the day and at night. So clearly, Vagisav, the Pasuk in Yoshua, the Vagisav Yom Valayla, is not, Pashtus is, it's not just Torah Shebitzah. And the truth is, the Gra discusses this in the, I think we, again, it was part of our Monday Shiurim, we talked about this, right? Whether or not, do you make a bracha on Hirhor, the Rei Torah? So Vagisav Yom Valayla. So, again, I understand where the Grizz is coming from. I didn't remember that, although I probably have it marked down in my Sota one. But good, it's good for the record. I mean, he just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he says,
Right, so I totally agree with that. That's what I was saying also. I think that that's a very reasonable shita and a very compelling shita. I just don't think at all, I mean, he's quoting the Pasuk about Gisavayom Malayla, which is the Mokka for here or, you know, and so on, etc. So I think what it means is that you're not Yotze an aspect, a dimension of, it's not Lo Yitachein, I mean, it's historically not possible either. I mean, not everybody learned the Lashon HaKodesh. The Ravid is, I don't know if the Ravid, you know, gave Shirim in Lashon HaKodesh either. You know, I don't know if he gave him Provençal or Yiddish or, you know, whatever it was, but I don't mean the Yiddish. So I you know, if I had my druthers, I'd say what the Grizz says. That's what I was trying to say. I just don't believe that that's a pshat in the Raiva, though I totally understand why he does. Again, Moshe Lamad over Doma, this is the famous, I've quoted this in the past, but the Balatanya in his in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you know, makes the famous comment,
Kiyum in Talmud Torah.
That but not Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh, again, is about the ideas and the concepts. And if you don't understand them, then you're just, the words don't mean anything, per se. As much as we think Bilshon Rabo and all those things are important, that's a great example of it. But Torah Shebaal Ksav, you know, our Shemosa Shalakarish Baruch Hu, that's a divine text. It's a text, you can have a text. And again, that plays in with the idea that we were talking about here, and especially what I was adding today, which is that the relationship between Havana and text is an interesting one, right? And then we had it again in the Rambam, maybe in Hilchos Shavuos, meaning, in a way, you know, if you look at something purely as a text, that kind of objectifies it and your connection to it. And therefore, you might be able to get, as long as there's no, you know, as long as it doesn't cross into the border of Nisasek, I would say, you know, then, you know, it could be okay, you know, basically. But the more something isn't a text, it's what the text conveys, you know, even if the text conveys it very meduyak, and there are benefits, you know, to, you know, actually employing the text to convey, you know, precisely the content or the substance, in the end of the day, you know, an emphasis on substance is one which puts a premium on Havana. So I think that relationship, again, is reinforced by this difference between Torah Shebaal Ksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, which I would have said for the Ravid, which Rebelbel's saying in the Ravid. I just don't think, again, if he hadn't quoted Vagiso Vayoma Malayla, you know, he had quoted something else, maybe, but he doesn't say it. He's quoting a pasuk that Dafka isn't talking particularly about Torah Shebaal Ksav, and so you have to maharher b'lashon hakodesh according to the Ravid. I think so. As a kiyum, I just don't take serious literally lo yotzei de chovasa. I mean, you don't actually you don't say the chova of kol Torah kula b'lashon hakodesh. Never. I just don't think it's sayable to say the other way. And then finally, I just wanted to mention one other thing. And that one other thing I wanted to mention was the question of Tosas about Kiddush and second. Yeah. Halal Kiddush and Birkos HaMitzvos? I have a Gemara here, right? So, right. Yeah, but, I mean, the Tosas are very interesting here. Again, first for Tosin, so the Elon Amar Bilashonim. I know I'm going to finish with that over time. Pierce, call out them Bilashono Shu Shomeel, Afukan, the Madai, Shainu, or Bilashon Parsi. Ava Kolashon Mashra, Ben Shomea, Ben Eh Shomea, Ugmar Lama. I mean, Tosa's struggling with this. Rashi here in Shavuos, Rashi in Sota. This is a big, big issue. And I just think, based on what we were just saying now, that that it's not a simple matter. And again, the more you objectify and text, the more maybe you can get away, you know, as long as you don't cross into Misasek with lack of Havana, and it's like an inverse relationship is what I'm trying to say, but not for everything after each one. Anyways, the next toast is Kriyat Shema Tefila Tema Amai Shir Halel V'Kiddush Shel Shabbos V'Birchos HaPeiros V'Birchos HaMitzvos. So Birchos HaPeiros V'Birchos HaMitzvos, I'm surprised by the question, right? That there's no text, you know, not particularly, you know, it's not like Birchos HaMazon, this complex, you know, bracha, or how you say hodah, or you're not saying enough, or the matir, or meaning the text of Birchos HaPeiros, Birchos HaMitzvos, I would say, you know, is the idea behind it, and the nusach, you know, is very simple. So why that isn't B'Lashon HaKodesh, or why that isn't on the list to tell you that it's not B'Lashon HaKodesh, I would think that there's no Avamim, frankly. Again, Birchos HaMitzvos and Birchos HaPeiros are matirim, but one, Birchos HaPeiros are matir in a very pragmatic way. It's not a presumptuous thing. Birchos HaMitzvos is a little presumptuous, but even then, I don't think that the Nusach HaBracha B'Lashon HaKodesh, you know, as long as you say Vitzivanu, you know, even if you say it in Latin, you know, or whatever, you know, so you're saying, I'm not doing this because I want to do it, I'm doing it as a mitzvah, I think, you know, that should be sufficient. So I really don't understand that so well. As for Hallel and Kiddush Shel Shabbos, that I think is interesting. The Rashash says, I don't understand why Hallel really isn't even B'kol Lashon, isn't B'kol Lashon HaKodesh, it's a text, it's Psukei Tehillim, right? And Kiddush, I would say, is very much like the problem of Birkas HaMazon, especially if Kiddush is Daraisa, because there are components in Kiddush, right? And Kiddush too is a kind of a Mekadesh. Yeah. What are you quoting?
Just maybe just to defend, based on the previous Tosos, so Tosos, yeah, things that are listed in Mishnah are things dafka when you understand them. So maybe he's asking, if they're not on this list, that implies that, obviously not that they should be Lashon
HaKodesh. Oh, you don't even need to understand them?
Yeah.
So then the question isn't why aren't they on the list, the question is why are you implying that you don't need to understand them?
That's apparent. That's a good question, that's how he answers it.
I don't, you know, I think that's interesting. Is that what it sounds like?
He answers that they're not on the list because you don't need to understand them.
Yeah. Beleka lemei medelo noked el doraisa, because mashma tefilo kriya shema drabanan. That doesn't bother me so much because...
Just one second.
Let me go through one at a time. So tefilo and kriya shema, are they doraisa drabanan? That, of course, is a huge debate. Even if they are drabanan, in some respect, the kiyumim are certainly doraisa. Right? So that doesn't bother me. But oda hasam, mashma the kiddush doraisa, baka mashma brish Nazir, Bishlam and Mikra Megillah, Iklame Melakish Shiar, the Tana Perk based the Megillah, Aloe Shashama Ashuris Yatsa. I told you that's a big debate, whether if you know Ashuris, whether that's not, if you know Hebrew, maybe that's Ma'akev and you can't, and whether there's a difference between Havana, whether you, in Hebrew and other Lashonos, so what about Greek? Elahani, Amai Shiar, Venir, Dahani, Nemarim Becholashon, Afil Enu Shomea, Hukach, Ludami Lani Demasisan. The Namarim Dafka Bilshon. So I think what Josh is saying is that's the answer. But it's hard to say that a little bit that's the question. Anyways, I don't want to get into it too much, but I do want to just say very briefly that Hallel is an interesting question. Do you have the Rashash there that I mentioned? Didn't see it? I don't think I have time to look at it.
He says,
yeah.
He asks, why isn't that?
From Rashi, that if there's an issue of Ramathraya from Yehei, that should be
Kehav Yasa,
it should also be
Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah. So anyways, Hallel is particularly interesting because I'm not sure if I discussed this or not. I think I did a little bit before Pesach. It came out, we're talking about Hallel on Pesach. But there's this interesting Tosefta in Menachos which doesn't say so much, but Rebelville at least in his piece on the Chibur, when he talks about Hallel on Pesach, yeah, we talked about that in Silver Spring too, right? You know, for those of us who made it. So Abelville interprets the Tosefta to say that all the components of Hallel are ma'akev each other, right? Which again, like the Rashash in a way, means that there's an order, there's a structure. Like again, it's not just haphazard Divrei Shevach, even the citation of Psukim right in Tehillim. Like there's a very cogent, like there's a strategy, you know, behind Hallel. Hallel is calibrated, right? It's not just haphazard. And once that is the case, there's also an interesting discussion whether Hallel is an association of Mangrama. The Rav Yo is in the opinion that Noshim are obligated in Hallel, and that it's not a mitzvah seishas mangrama. There's also an interesting discussion whether or not Hallel, you can be Yotzei Shomea Ka'ona or not, which might imply that it's a more personal obligation. Without going into too much detail, all I'm saying is that Hallel, if Hallel is just like an expression of Simcha, you know, that is, you know, concretized, you know, in a certain way, but the Mechayiv of Simcha generally, and Hordah or Shevach, or Shevach, is Koveya. So then, you know, it's not such a compelling argument that it should require a specific text, or for that matter, Lashon HaKodesh even more. But the more you think, again, that Hallel is like an art form, you know, that it's very calibrated, you know, that it is very formalized. Like it's not, you know, Kol Omer Halo B'Kol Yom, you know, Hareza Mecharef, you know, Umagadef, right? The Gemara in Shabbos. So, meaning you need a, you know, Halo, when you say it, has, you know, a certain cachet. So then, you know, the idea that you might really require Lashon HaKodesh, you know, these specific, not just these themes, but, you know, the original of these, you know, actually mizmorim, you know, become something possible. And Kiddush as well, as I say, Kiddush has multiple themes. If you remember last year we were in Kiddush, right? So when we talked about there's an interesting line in the Gemara there, and of Zion, where the Gemara says that, you know, maybe Birchas Erusin is compared to Kiddush. There's a debate among the Rishonim. What does that mean? Because it's, you know, so some of the Rishonim hold because it's Kiddush is a complex and multi-themed bracha. And some of them say, oh, because it's Mekadesh, language of Kiddush. And I wanted to say that maybe those two things converge. In other words, Kiddush on Shabbos is not just an affirmation. You know, it's more, at least according to Ramban and others, it's a nofech. I always quote the Rav on this, that he compared it to, you know, Rabbi Yaakov's perspective on Bechor. You know, Afapisha Kadoshu, and Ramban kind of says it in his Perish Al HaTorah, Afapisha Kadoshu Merecha Mitzvah Lagdisho, that by acknowledging it and expressing it in a certain way, you add to Kedusha Shabbos. Right, so again, Kiddush, you know, is multi-themed, and it's a Mekadesh for the same reason. I mean, there's something formal, right? Yom Tchilo LeMikroi Kodesh. Kiddush, you know, expresses Mikra Kodesh. And that's why it should be B'Tchilaso, you know, and, you know, explains many dinim of Kiddush, frankly. So, once again, the possibility that Dafka has to be B'Lashon HaKodesh, because it's a more formal Mekadesh, emerges. But this is what Tosa says. Tosas give their own answer, but you have to look at other Rishonim and other Achronim, some of the answers that they give as well. Okay, so we'll stop here about, there's much more to talk about, both. Generally, I think we, you know, are on the right track in terms of each example and what it reflects about the bigger question, but also what it reflects about itself. You know, obviously there's so much more to talk about, but Od Chazon LaMoed. So Tuesday, let's continue with, I want to say a few things just about the middle Gemara, the Gemaras that we skipped, about Geirus and Mitzvahs Drabanan, but mostly I want to begin talking about Rav Shmuel. So make sure to look at the Shaka Vitari of Rav Shmuel. Remember what we did about Eid Echad, we're not going to repeat the Eid Echad, but look at Lisa Tosis and Bava Kamadav Kub Gimel Amad Aleph about Kafatz V'Nishba, whether about Shtei Kesef, and of course the Rishonim about Shtei Kesef B'Shuas HaShomrim. I don't want to overlap so much what we did, but we did it for the sake of Eid Echad. So I just want to speak a little more about Shtei Kesef and the Rajba, about Shalaputa, but mostly to get to Mem Aleph and speak about Shvud Araisa, Shvud Rabbanan, and the example of Ishtabed Lo Partifa, which I'll give you more makomos for. Either I'll send them into Shua, or I'll try to send them into Shua before Tuesday, before on Monday something. I could give you, but the only problem is a great place to look about Mitzvahs Drabanan. A Geirus, a whole question of Bikurim, you know, whether you say Hashem Elokeinu and Bidui Maestros. We look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim and the Mishnah LeMelech and the Yerushalmi. If you want, I can send you specifics, but it's pretty easy to find. About Geirim, you know, whether they say Hashem Elokeinu or, you know, and so on. I always like to quote the Gilyone Ashas on Daf Zion in Psachim, when the Gemara there talks about, Birchas Tvila, and whether it's over Las Yasin or not. So he has a terrific line, which I'll try to show you is connected, you know, to all of this. That's in general. On the question of Mitzvahs Drabanan, the Rambam and Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos in Shorash Aleph. But the Ramban has like three different formulations to defend the Bahag, all of which I think are good models, someone to talk about. And the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis, as another example. That'll be enough. And then, because I do want to get to the other things, so these are all like massive topics if we do them separately. So we're going to do, again, quick in and out, and then talk a little bit about Rav Shmuel, a little more about Rav Shmuel, but picking up on what we discussed earlier in the year when we did Daf Mem anyway, and then to talk about Shtabel Lidlo Praticha and, you know, the range again. Okay? Good.